This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome to day 5 of coverage. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our updates and discussions on this case. Cell phones, guns, and the word I or they. Those are the resounding themes of today's trial coverage. We're going to go to the courtroom for segment number 1 of 4 right now.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ready for the jury?
Yes, sir. Say this.
Your Honor, can I just make one brief comment?
Yes.
And I've talked to all of us over here. We want to thank the clerk of court for her assistance every time we need something. She has been there for us. The Colleton County Sheriff's Department is providing security, has given us total access to our client. We feel like we've been treated extraordinarily well by all court personnel. And I want to put on the record, since there seems to be a national media interest here, I've tried many cases in many jurisdictions, and I've never been treated at this level of courtesy and understanding. Thank you.
Okay.
Absolutely echo that, sir. Everybody's been great. Absolutely.
Okay, I echo that as well. Very good. Bring the jury.
The jury is present, sir.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Day number 7. State's case. We'll have our witness back. Yeah, remind you, you're still under oath.
Yes, sir.
Cross-examination.
Thank you.
Mr. Griffin.
Good morning, Agent Croft.
Good morning, sir.
On June 8th, I understood that was your first involvement in this case. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
And you went to Moselle on the morning of the June 8th?
I was en route to Moselle, got rerouted to the office, and then went and conducted an interview, and then back to Moselle.
That's right. You interviewed Rogan Gibson, and then went to Moselle.
That is correct.
And what time did you get to Moselle?
I was around lunchtime when I got there.
And as I understood from your testimony, that your role primarily is because in this case is that because you know a lot about guns and ammunition. Did I understand that correctly?
That was not my sole role. I was at the search of the residence because of my familiarity with firearms.
Yes, sir. And you went and searched the residence with other agents, and we saw those agents, some of them, on the body cam video that played yesterday.
Yes, sir. I was in the gun room.
Okay. And this search was a consent search, correct?
That is correct, yes, sir.
You weren't there executing a search warrant, right?
No, sir, I was not.
And were you aware, though, that there was a search warrant that had been obtained the night before?
I was aware of the consent, the search at the incident location. It's common practice that they get a search warrant to process the scene.
Yes, sir. Were there any limitations that you were aware of on the scope of the consent? The search?
No, sir.
And so, as far as you knew and understood then and understand today, you or other agents that SLED could have searched that house from top to bottom on the 8th. Is that correct?
Other agents went through the residence with family members.
And there were no limitations on what the other agents could have looked for, right?
Again, I can't say what limitations was placed on them as they walked through the house. I was in the gun room.
Well, to your knowledge, did anyone look for bloody clothes or dirty clothes in the house while you were there on the 8th?
I was in the gun room, and I was collecting guns and ammunition, sir.
Now you mentioned that you had been provided some information about the type of ammunition that was used down at the crime scene where Maggie and Paul were murdered. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And you and one one ammunition was a 300 blackout shell casing. Were you aware of that?
Yes, sir, I was.
And who relayed the information to you as the type of ammo that was used for the murder of Maggie and Paul?
It came from the investigative team. I don't recall exactly who called me or who told me the information, but I was relayed the information through our investigative team that was at the scene.
All right, so you were informed that, you know, look out, see what you can find in the gun room related to 300 blackout. Is that correct?
It wasn't limited to specifically 300 blackout. That was a round of interest.
Okay. And then the other round of interest was 12 gauge, correct?
That is correct.
And were you given any information as to what specific type of 12 gauge ammunition was used at the crime scene?
I knew we had a 12 gauge, what believed to be a turkey load or BB load, and then a buckshot.
Okay. And I'll talk to you a little bit about the 300 blackout ammunition. You testified yesterday that the grains, the weight of the ammunition found at the house was 147 grains. Is that right?
That is correct. That's what's on the empty box, which I located in.
Is this the empty box, State's Exhibit 213 that you're referring to?
That is correct.
And this, I recall, this pack of ammo on this exhibit has a label of Woody's Pawn and Jewelry and $11.99. You couldn't buy this ammunition in June of 2021 for $11.99, could you?
I don't know what the ammunition cost.
Well, you know, it was a lot more than $11.99.
I don't know the price of the ammunition at that time.
All right. And are you familiar? There's basically two types of ammunition for the 300 blackout. There's the supersonic and subsonic.
I am, sir.
And the subsonic is the heavier of the two, correct?
That is correct.
And that would be a 220 grain.
Thereabout, Chester.
Yes. And the most popular ammunition for hunting is the supersonic, the 147 grain ammunition. You aware of that?
I can't say the most popular would be, but I am aware that 147 grain is used for hunting.
And you're aware that the 300 blackout has it's not a rare gun in that area of Hampton and Colleton County, is it?
It's not as common as the General 223 or the AR-15, 308, different caliber rifles. It's not as common.
But there are plenty out there, correct?
I can't testify as to how many's out there, sir.
Not, I understand, but it's not the first time you'd seen the 300 blackout on June 8, 2021, was it?
I had seen one before, yes, sir.
And then the 12 gauge, you didn't know what type, you weren't given any type 12 gauge you were looking for. You just, from the information from the crime scene, right?
The type of weapon I was looking for? No,
yes, sir.
No, sir.
And then were you given information as to the size of the 12 gauge shell? 2.5 inch, 3 inch?
It was, I was given, three inch magnum was what I was given.
And that was on the buckshot?
I was given 3 inch magnum, of shotgun capable of shooting a 3 inch magnum.
Okay. Now, and we're going to get to some of these shotguns here in a minute, but that, the Browning light doesn't even shoot it. 3 inch shell, does it?
It does not. 2.75 what it shoots.
Right. And yet you seized it?
I secured it, yes, sir.
And you brought it here in the courtroom and introduced it in this case?
I did, sir.
Yes. a gun that couldn't even fire the bullet that killed Paul, right?
It did not fire the rounds that was located at the scene.
Right. In fact, none of the shotguns that you brought yesterday, according to the ballistic report, your lab analysis, fired the shots that killed Paul, correct?
I do not have the lab report in front of me.
Well, you certainly know that after June 8th, Sled was diving in ponds and waterways looking for the murder weapons. Isn't that correct?
We were diving looking for potential evidence from the scene.
Have you ever found the murder weapons, to your knowledge?
Objection, Your Honor. That's outside the scope of his knowledge.
Objection's overruled.
Not that I'm aware of, sir.
And are you familiar with what ballistics tests were done on Buster's 300 Blackout and whether that was excluded as a weapon used to kill his mother?
Again, I don't have the report in front of me, and I'm not able to testify to that, sir.
And you brought these empty turkey load Exhibit 214, I believe, brought these into evidence, the box of turkey shells?
That is the boxes I collected, yes, sir.
And these were empty?
Yes, sir, they were.
And these were found in the trash can?
Yes, sir. They were found in a trash bag, yes, sir.
Okay. And you, let's see. Exhibit. The other end has exhibit number. Exhibit 90 is the Browning Auto 5 Light 12 gauge, which we already talked about wouldn't even hold a 3-inch shell, but there were no shells, no ammo in the Browning weapon, which is exhibit 90 you brought to court, right?
There was no rounds in that weapon.
When you seized it on the 8th, no rounds in, right?
That is correct, yes.
All right. The Mossberg model Ultimag, which is exhibit 89, you have a 12-gauge shot shell written on the outside. So there was one shot shell loaded in this gun, correct?
That is correct, yes, sir.
And you remember if it was buckshot or birdshot?
It was black. I don't remember what it was.
Will you be able to look at it and tell us?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm going to hand you exhibit 89 and ask if you can pull out the shot, the ammo in there, and tell this jury if that's bird shot or bug shot first.
It is a Browning 12 gauge, 3.5-inch magnum, 2.25, number 7 and 9.
And that's for hunting turkeys, right?
That's my understanding, yes, sir.
All right, thank you. Put it back in there.
Okay. This is not closer.
Here we go. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
So, in the Mossberg, there's one bird shot. Now, the other, the Benelli Super Black Eagle 3, had two unfired shot shells, according to your notes on the box. And this is Exhibit 91. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And do you recall whether any of these is bird shot, bug shot? Do you remember?
I would have to look at them again, sir.
All right. That was Exhibit 91, for the record.
There's a black round in here that's a 3-inch number 4 pellet, and then there's a 7 2-1/2 ounce 3.5-inch with an 89 millimeter.
And those are both turkey loads, right?
It could be used for turkey, yes, sir.
Well, let's just be clear. Neither one of those are buckshot, correct?
No, sir.
Thank you. Again, these were ruled out as being having any involvement in the murder of Paul, right? Exhibit 91.
I can't testify to any lab reports. I don't have the lab reports, and it's out of the scope of what I did.
Was it correct to say, Agent Croft, that you did not find any guns loaded in the gun room or anywhere at Moselle that had a birdshot and a buckshot loaded at the same time?
The only weapons I've recovered are the weapons that are there with the rounds that we have just looked at. Yes, sir.
And if you or another agent in your presence made a representation that we found in the gun room a gun with similar loads as that we found at the crime scene, that would be an incorrect statement, would it?
I don't think it would be incorrect to say that there was guns were loaded in a similar fashion using two different types of ammunition, two different loads.
Well, there's no buckshot in any of the two guns that you found loaded, correct?
Not when we collected them, no, sir.
And the turkey loads or the bird loads that we just looked at, those the pellets and those are lead, are they not?
I would have to look at the actual boxes that came in or the pellets that are in it. Some of them are steel. I'm not sure.
So do you know the difference between steel and lead?
Do I know the difference?
Yeah. And what's the difference? Why would you have steel versus lead?
Steel shot is used a lot in waterfowl hunting. That type of stuff. Lead shot is used for normal everyday rabbit, squirrel, dove.
Well, we do have some boxes here, 214. Can you tell us whether this is lead or steel?
The Winchester 12 gauge shot lock lead is a turkey load, number 4. The Browning box, I do not see it indicated on the box what the ball is or the pellets are.
Well, let me ask you, is there a turkey on the face of that box?
There is a turkey on the face of the box, yes, sir.
And turkey a waterfowl bird or land bird?
Turkey is a land bird, sir. And the other box is the same on federal. It's got a turkey on the front.
All right. So those three boxes look like they're turkey loads, right?
That's what it appears.
Okay. Did you find any waterfowl shell boxes at Moselle on June 8th?
I did not collect any waterfowl shell boxes from Moselle.
Did you collect any waterfowl unfired shotgun, 12-gauge shotgun shells at Moselle on June the 8th?
Not that I'm aware of, sir.
Have you ever collected unfired shotgun shells from waterfowl at Moselle in part of this investigation?
I do not recall collecting any waterfowl shot.
Are you aware, sir, that the shot that blew Paul Murdoch's head off was Winchester Drylock steel waterfowl 12-gauge ammunition?
I was aware that we were that the pellets were steel.
Well, you can look at the outside of the spent shell casing and see that it's Winchester Drylock, correct?
If I had the shell casing, yes, sir, I could see it.
And you know that to be a waterfowl, a duck load, correct?
I know that it's primarily used for duck load, yes, sir.
And you know that's what killed Paul Murdoch.
I do know that it was steel shot.
And you didn't find any similar ammunition at Moselle on June the 8th or any time after that, correct?
I did not, sir.
Now, you were shown pictures of the gun room and a lot of, and I think you testified there were some 25 guns and gun racks.
It's roughly 20 to 25 guns.
And this is 1,700 acres of hunting land?
Yes, sir.
And, I mean, did it shock you to see that many guns? And they were all hunting guns, were they not?
It did not shock me to see that many hunting guns.
And a lot of people in Hampton, Colleton, this part of Lowcountry, and they hunt with those types of guns. Isn't that correct?
Yes, sir.
And nothing, you didn't find anything unusual about the number of guns they had in their house, right?
I did not, sir.
Thank you. Now, you mentioned that you know something about the ejection pattern of the 300 blackout. You remember testifying about that?
I remember testifying that it ejects to the right and slightly backwards.
And I'm going to let you take it out. I'm a city boy.
May I stand?
Yes, sir, please. Do you mind, y'all? Go stand. Thank you. If you could, while you're standing, if you could just step down and point the gun at that door, and hopefully no one comes through, and show the jury the direction that the shells would go.
Can I point it up further?
Point it up would be great. That'd probably be safer. Told you I was a city boy.
The rounds would be ejected from this side across my, would be my right shoulder.
Okay. And so... And this is semi-automatic, meaning you have to pull the trigger each time, is that right?
That is correct, sir.
And every time you pull the trigger, it shoots, a shell ejects off the toward your right shoulder toward the rear, right?
As long as there's ammunition in the magazine.
Okay. And how far does it go before it lands, roughly?
I can't answer that, sir.
Foot, 2 feet, 3 feet?
I can't testify to how far an ejection, ejected shell is going to expend from the...
Okay.
Weapon.
That's fine. Can you put it back, please?
Yes, sir.
But just what way you have it up, when you point to the jury, I think they saw it before, but let's just be clear. The thermal scope, can you point that out?
This would be this item here.
And you've got to charge that, right? That's sort of a, you've got to plug it in, battery operated of some sort.
It would have some sort of power. I don't know if it's a rechargeable battery or batteries that has to be replaced.
Okay. And the thermal scope is for hunting at night, is that right?
It could be used for hunting at night, yes, sir.
A regular scope
to pick up infrared, it's heat sensitive.
Kind of hard to hunt at night with a regular scope because it doesn't pick up.
Scope and light would work, but this is also used.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Agent Croft, I'm going to show you what went into evidence yesterday is Defendant's Exhibit 29. And can you see it from up there?
Yes, sir, I can.
And these, like marker 7, 5, 6, it's identified in the legend over here, but these are 300 blackout shell cases. Do you understand that to be the case?
I don't see marker 5 on the printout on the left-hand side there.
Well, you're right, it's not on 1, 2. Well, let's just follow along. If these are in fact shell casings, from what you just described to the jury, the ejection path of the 300 blackout, where would the person shooting the gun be standing in relation to these markers?
Your Honor,
6, 5, 6, and 7.
Objection.
Objection is overruled.
The if 7, 5, and 6 are shell casings, that it would be likely that the shooter would be to the upper side of those rounds.
Somewhere near this line in that area?
I can't testify to that line or any kind of angle of that line, no sir.
Understand, but it would be on the side of the line. It'd be up in here somewhere, right?
It would be on the left-hand side of where those numbers are. It would be likely that the shooter would be on the left-hand side of where those numbers are if you're looking at it from where I'm sitting.
The shooter would be on the left-hand side of these numbers and a little forward of these numbers. Is that right?
I can't say because I'm not sure if the ejection hit something on the way out or if there was an obstruction on the ejection. I don't know. I can't testify to how far they would go. I just know that a normal 300 ejects to the right and slightly backwards.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You were at Moselle on the 8th. I think we've established that. And did you go back on the 13th?
I did, sir.
And did you go? You went to the house on the 13th as well?
I did, sir.
Okay. And we saw body cam from where you're picking up shell casings around the side door, 300 blackout shell casings around the side door. And I think, was that the 8th when you got the shell casing next to the...
That was around 2 o'clock on the 8th, a little after 2.
Now, jury will have the video if they want to see it, but as you're standing out there, you can see the rooftops of the shed building and some other structures down at the kennels where the murders took place. You remember, you could see the rooftops?
I would think you could see the rooftops.
But that's all you could see, correct? You couldn't see sled agents working around down there by the dog kennels.
No, sir, there's planted pines between the residents and the kennels.
So the fact of the matter is you can't see people at the dog kennels from the house based on your personal observations. Is that correct?
From where I was standing, no, sir.
Now, You also testified about the location of Maggie's phone, how it was found?
Yes, sir.
Did you go out there when it was located?
Yes, sir, I did.
You recall how it was located?
Yes, sir, I do.
How was it located?
We sent information to the phone company for a ping. The ping was actually 20-something hundred meters, which is a long ways. We then learned that she had Find My iPhone on her phone. One of the family members assisted with locating that phone, getting a better location on the phone, and we were ultimately able to find it.
So you found the phone, Maggie's phone, by family member using Find My iPhone.
And I think it was John Marvin is the one that assisted us with that.
And do you think John Marvin was using Buster's phone to do that?
I don't have a clue what he was using.
And then when the phone was collected, you provided the password. Remember, you testified the password was provided.
We were provided the PIN to open the phone.
Yes, sir. Are you aware that Alec Murdoch provided the PIN, the SLED, so they could open Maggie's phone?
Again, I don't know where the passcode or PIN came from, but we were provided a PIN.
Do you know what a Faraday bag is?
Yes, sir, I do.
Did anyone have a Faraday bag?
I did not have a Faraday bag that day.
What's the purpose of a Faraday bag?
To prevent any tampering from outside sources once a cell phone is collected.
And you can put the cell phone inside a Faraday bag so it can't hit Wi-Fi, cell phone towers?
Again, it prevents any tampering from outside to prevent anybody from being able to communicate with the phone.
It helps
any outside sources.
It's a tool to secure the evidence to prevent tampering.
It is
inadvertent or intentional tampering, right?
Yes, sir. It is one tool that can be used.
And was Maggie's phone put in a Faraday bag when it was seized on the side of Moselle Road?
No, it was not.
Did anyone ask or bring up the fact that, hey, maybe we should get a Faraday bag before we move this phone?
I did not ask.
Anybody asking your presence?
Not that I'm aware of.
Now, on June 8th, you were briefed and you were advised that Alec found his wife and son murdered. He was the one that discovered them, correct?
Yes, sir.
And on June 8th, you knew that he was Maggie's husband, Paul's father, immediate family, correct?
Yes, sir.
And as part of your long-time experience investigating crimes, murders in particular, someone who finds the bodies and is related to the victims is always going to be looked at. Is that fair?
That would be a fair statement, sir.
And y'all were looking at Alex on the 8th. SLED was, correct?
Yes, sir.
And would you have a label? Was he person of interest or suspect on the 8th?
We were looking at Alec being the one that found the deceased, being the husband, the father, in an attempt to get Mr. Alec out of that immediate circle.
And you've described this investigative circle. So you draw a circle around potential persons of interest, and Alex was in that circle, correct?
We don't draw a circle around any individual person. We work with the crime scene, which is what we consider the circle, and we work from our way inside out in order to find any potential suspects, identify suspects, clear individuals. So we start with the small circle.
So when you started with the small circle, although you don't draw it, I mean, it's a sort of an investigative mental tool. Who was the person in the small circle?
We had Miss Maggie was in the crime scene, Paul was in the crime scene, and Alec was in the crime scene.
And you remember that on the morning of the 8th, there were media reports that Alec was a person of interest in the murder of his wife and son. Do you remember that being public knowledge?
I try to avoid the media in any investigation because I don't want to be influenced by anything that's said.
And the, what do you recall SLED putting out a press release on the morning of the 8th that the public need not be alarmed?
I do not recall any press release being put out by SLED.
Never. Well, the point being, on the 8th, there was a circle, and it was only around Alec. He was the only living and breathing person in the circle. Is that correct?
That is the only person that we could place in the circle at that time.
And on the 8th, SLED knew that, from what interviews with Alec, that he said he left Moselle at shortly after 9 p.m., went to visit his mother in Alameda, stayed for a while, and came back. SLED, and you were aware of that fact?
I am aware of that, yes, sir.
Did anybody at SLED ever, on the morning of the 8th, hightail it over to Alameda and search the house for any evidence whatsoever?
I did not go to Alameda and search the house on the 8th.
Are you aware of anyone ever going to Alameda to search the house until sometime in September of 2021?
There was a number of agents out working. I'm not sure what the other agents did.
Wouldn't it have been a good idea to go to Alameda on the morning of the 8th, where the guy in the circle says he was, right?
I did not go, and I can't testify to what other agents did.
Well, you've been working this investigation. Are you the lead case agent?
No, sir, I'm not.
Who's the lead case agent?
David Owen.
All right. Now, every interview that Alec Murdoch gave, you participated in, right?
I did, sir.
So were you working, you know, sort of Agent Owen's right-hand man in this investigation?
I was assigned by the captain to assist at Agent Owens.
So it's fair that you knew daily developments as the investigation progressed, right?
We had briefings with each other on the case. Yes, sir.
And you knew that at no point in time, in June, July, August, anyone went over to Alameda, searched the house, searched the property for any dirty clothes or any murder weapons?
I know that I did not go, and I'm not sure what the other agents in the investigative circle had done.
Well, if you went over there, if you had gone over there on the morning of the 8th, scoured the place and not find anything, that would sort of help nudge Alec outside this investigative circle, would it not?
I can't testify to what if, sir. I did not go.
Okay. On the 8th, you were asked to point out, who's that person? Who's that person? Who's that person? That's Ronnie Crosby. He's a lawyer. That's Mark Ball. He's a lawyer. That's Lee Cope. He's a lawyer. You remember that testimony?
I do, sir.
Okay. Now, Alec wasn't lawyering up on the 8th. Those were his friends who came over to help him. Correct?
They were given counsel to Alec as far as what we were doing. They were making phone calls to his counsel. That was the instruction which we gave.
Okay.
We were given.
And they were assisting you, as you saw on the body cam, go through the evidence that you ended up seizing in the gun room, right?
They pointed out some items that they had concerns about.
Did you find that their efforts were obstructing your investigation?
They didn't obstruct our search within that gun room, no, sir.
Now, you went back, I think, on June 13th. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, we did.
And remind me, what was the purpose of the search on June 13th?
Search on June 13th was a follow-up search of the residence. I would have to see the search warrant, actual search warrant, to see what items was being sought at that time.
Are you testifying that you had to get a search warrant on the 13th?
Search warrant or consent? I'm not sure. I don't know what exactly, everything that was being looked for at that time.
Well, in fact, Alec Murdoch gave consent anytime he was asked by SLED if they could go on the property, right?
My understanding is consent was obtained each time.
And so there was no search warrant on the 13th, was there, Agent Crone?
I would have to see our legal grounds for being there, so whether it was consent or a search warrant. I do not know.
Right. And you don't need a search warrant if there's consent?
No, sir, you do not.
And and in this interview, excuse me, this search, you've seized Exhibit 151, which is, and I'll hand it to you, that's 300 blackout clip, is that right?
It's a magazine with 300 blackout ammunition, yes, sir.
And that was found where?
Collected from a black Ford F-150.
On the property, is that correct?
That's correct, yes, sir.
And I think you testified it was found on the floorboard of the truck, is that right?
I didn't testify to where it was found, no, sir.
Okay, do you know where it was found?
No, sir. Just a black Ford F-150.
Did you find it?
No, sir, I did not.
Oh, it was just provided to you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, the jury heard this videotape interview of Alec on June 10th, where he told you that Paul left everything everywhere. Do you remember hearing that statement?
I do remember that, yes, sir.
And does this evidence support what Alec told you, that Paul left everything everywhere, if you found a clip, 300 blackout?
I can't testify to who had the magazine in the F-150.
Do you know who last drove that F-150?
I do not, sir.
Was any analysis done of that clip?
The way it's packaged there, it does not appear that there's been any analysis done.
Were any fingerprints taken of that clip?
Again, sir, the way it's packaged, it does not appear that there was any analysis done.
And I think there was another clip that was seized from the shelf in the gun room. I don't have that pulled up, but I think it's 150, perhaps. Did you remember seizing another clip from the gun room?
Yes, sir. There was another magazine with 300 blackout.
And any fingerprints taken from the clip seized from the shelf of the gun room?
I don't think so, sir.
Was there any analysis done of the clip taken from the shelf in the gun room?
The way I recall it being packaged yesterday, it would appear that there was no analysis performed.
Yeah, you brought it to court. You want this jury to have it. Why is that?
Objection, Your Honor.
Basis for the objection.
I believe that's outside the scope of this witness's purpose here as to why it's being offered into court.
Response to the objection.
You're not asking his knowledge, not anything beyond his knowledge. He can say, I don't know, or if he has a reason.
Overruled objection.
Can you repeat the question, yeah, please, sir?
Do you know why you were asked to bring those clips here to court and put them in evidence before this jury?
I do not, sir.
All right. Now, you also did a search of the shooting range. Through my notes, and I don't have a date. Was that on the 13th or a different day?
I'm not sure if it's the 13th or the 16th.
16th? I think you may be right. Either way, again, that was a consent search, right? You didn't have a search warrant for that.
We did get consent for that, yes, sir.
And the jury saw the video. We're not going to belabor that again, but But there was a shooting house, if you will, with a chair and a thing you would rest a gun on. And we saw you picking up a lot of shell casings, right?
Yes, sir.
And the shell casings you were picking up were the 300 blackout spent shell casings, cartridges, right?
That is correct, sir.
But there was a lot of brass in there that were not 300 blackout cartridges, right?
There was additional brass that was not 300, okay. Yes, sir.
Now, we didn't get a good look. If you're sitting in that chair in that shooting house downrange, do you remember what was on the other end of 100 yards or so away? Do you remember what was on the other end?
I do not recall what's back on that end, no, sir. A target of some sort.
Are you aware there's a big dirt mound there?
A berm, too.
Yeah. That's safe, right? You don't want to be shooting a rifle just going down the, you know, without something to stop it. So there's a berm there to stop it.
It was right? Going into a wooded area, yes, sir.
But there was a...
That was a dirt mound.
There was a target and then a dirt mound behind it.
That's correct.
Now, we saw you picking up brass. Who went down to the other end and started digging in that dirt, earthen dirt mound to find fired projectiles?
I did not go down to the other end, no, sir.
In fact, nobody at SLED went to that other end to dig out 300 blackout fired projectiles, did they?
I did not, and I don't know what the other agents did, no, sir.
Well, you're assisting Agent Owen. You're going to briefings. You didn't hear at any point in time while we should have or we did dig out projectiles from the dirt mound.
I never heard of anyone digging out the dirt mound, digging out brass from the dirt mound.
If you had dug out projectiles from the dirt mound, that could have been sent to the ballistics lab at SLED and done a comparison to projectiles found at the crime scene, correct?
There would be a lot of elements that would go into whether it could actually be looked at or not.
Or you could certainly compare it to what was, I mean, you could take a 300 blackout, shoot it out of Buster's gun right there leaning next to you and compare it to the projectiles. You're aware that could be done at SLED, right?
Yes, sir, I am. Okay.
But it wasn't, was it?
I'm not sure what testing was done on this particular rifle to compare it to anything at the scene.
Okay. Now, let's go to the June 10th interview. You and Agent Owens interviewed Alec in Agent Owens' sled issued vehicle on June 10th, right?
Yes, sir, we did.
And that was at Brother John Marvin's hunting lodge in Varnville or somewhere close by, right?
Yes, sir.
Not yet. The a lot of people were interviewed that day, right?
There was a number of interviews going on at the same time, yes, sir.
And was again, that was consent, correct? The interviews were consensual.
Yes, sir.
And you interviewed the folks being interviewed that day, not only included Alec, but they included John Marvin, his brother, his son Buster, and his other brother Randy. Is that correct?
To my recollection, yes, sir.
And when you pulled up on June the 10th, was it early afternoon, it seemed like?
The timestamp should be on the video. I don't recall what time it was.
But it was a little bit like the cavalry coming, wasn't it? Because there were a lot of cars that pulled up at one time, right?
They were aware we were coming.
They were. How many agents went?
We took agents to interview each person that was there.
You took two agents for each interview, right? I think there was two agents for each interview, yes, sir.
And each agent came in their own car, right?
I think I may have rode with Special Agent Owen. I'm not sure if the others drove their own cars or not.
Well, and so there's at least four, could have been more than that, cars, right?
That was probably four cars, yes, sir.
And you put each person, Randy, John Marvin, Buster, and Alec, in a separate car all at one time?
Pretty close to the same time, yes, sir. Each one got in a car with agents.
And that's a law enforcement investigative technique, so that you don't want witnesses to be comparing notes, and you want to interview them in separate places, same time, and to get what's fresh on their mind without learning of what another witness has said, right?
We wanted to interview them individually, yes, sir.
And you said they knew that they were coming, but did you alert anyone that we're all going to be coming in, you know, at least four cars, and we're going to interview you separately at the same time?
There was some other things that was going to take place while we were conducting the interviews, so it was arranged that they would all be at that location, and we were going to meet them there and conduct the interviews.
And you also had a guy there to do the phone extraction.
Yes, sir. Those are the other things I'm talking about.
Now, that wasn't told to Alec or John Marvin or Buster or Randy before Sled rolled in on the 8th at John Marvin's hunting lodge, right?
It's my understanding that they knew we were coming and that we were going to request the phone analysis be done.
You think someone, when Sled would have told Alec ahead of time, told John Marvin ahead of time, that we're going, when we get there, be sure not to erase anything off your phone because we're going to download it?
I didn't set the meeting up. I went with Agent Owen to conduct the interview.
So, but one of the first things you did in the interview was you and Agent Owen was ask Alec if he would give over his phone so that it could be extracted, right?
That was one of the first things we asked for.
And that extraction was done, you know, by another agent who came in a separate vehicle, I assume. Is that right?
He's not an agent with the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division. No, sir.
Okay. He was investigated with 14th Circuit Solicitor's Office?
That's my understanding of his job title, yes, sir.
And that would be Investigator Hightower? Is that who did that?
That is my understanding, yes, sir.
And during the interview, you also, at the end of the interview, you got a buckle swab from Alec, right?
I did, sir.
And you got a buckle swab from, not you, but everybody who was interviewed gave buckle swabs, meaning John Marvin, Randy, Buster, and Alec, correct?
I know that Alec, we secured a buckle from Alec. I'm pretty sure that there was one collected from Buster. I'm not sure about John Marvin and Randy.
Now, yesterday, we listened to the entire video interview with Alec, and it ran for almost an hour, could be longer, but you sat on the stand and heard that, right?
Yes, sir, I did.
And at various points in time, you were asked, what did he just tell you? Did he just tell you this? Do you remember that?
I do, sir.
And then you get to one point in the interview where you're asked, what did you say after you said it must be tormenting? And you testified that Alex said on the video, captured by audio, that it was so bad, I did him so bad. That's what you testified to yesterday.
Yes, sir, that is what I testified to.
Now, are you 100% confident that Alex said, I did him so bad, rather than they did him so bad?
I am 100% confident in what I heard and I interpreted him as saying. Okay.
But you would agree that this jury can hear the same thing you heard on June the 10th by playing what was captured on the body cam or the recording equipment in agent's Owen's car, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, when you heard what you said, you're confident what you heard, that he said, I did him so bad, what'd you do in response to that?
I made a mental note of it. Again, we were still in the early stages of investigation. It was more of an information gathering from Mr. Alec. And we did not have information at that point, to my opinion, to challenge Mr. Alec on any of his statements.
Your Honor, I'm 11. So, Alec Murdoch was the one and only in this circle on June the 10th. You're in the car with him, and according to your testimony, he says, I did him so bad.
That is what I understood him to say, yes, sir.
And yet, you just said you took a mental note of it.
Yes, sir, I did.
I mean, if the guy in the middle of the circle, the only one in the circle, says, I did him so bad, isn't that a significant statement if he actually said that?
It's definitely something we would follow up with.
You never followed up with it, did you?
There was a third interview conducted with Mr. Alex.
There was a third interview. There was a third interview conducted on August the 11th, 2021, right?
I don't recall the exact date.
We hear about it, but you were there, right?
Yes, sir, I was.
And tell the jury, if you ask Alec Murdoch on August 11th, 2021, what did you mean back on June 10th when you said, I did him so bad?
We didn't make it to that point, sir.
In fact, back on June 10th, after you had this, what you heard him say, I did him so bad, you went on to talk about funeral arrangements, whether they're going to be public or private. Isn't that right?
There was questions concerning funeral arrangements, yes, sir.
And Agent Owen says, well, Alec said he's trying to make arrangements so it wouldn't be, you know, a lot of media there or any media there. And, you know, the guy who just said, I did him so bad, I mean, the response to that was, they don't deserve to be there. You recall that?
Repeat that again, sir.
Do you recall Agent Owen saying in your presence to Alec, the media did not deserve to be at Maggie and Paul's funeral?
I do recall Agent Owen saying something about the media not being there. Yes, sir.
And that was after, according to you, he said, I did him so bad.
Yes, sir.
Did you consider that to be some sort of confession on June the 10th?
Again, it was something that we were definitely going to follow up on. Yes, sir.
Getting ready for your testimony yesterday,
excuse me.
Did you review a transcript that was prepared by SLED of that interview of June 10th with Alec?
No, sir. I have never seen a transcript that was prepared for that.
Are you aware the transcript was prepared at SLED?
No, sir. I am not.
Are you hearing that the first time?
Yes, sir. I am.
Well, let me ask you back on June 10th. Why didn't you ask him right then and there when he said, I did him so bad? Why didn't you ask him, what do you mean by that, Alec?
Again, it was early in the investigation. It was more of an information gathering interview, if you would call it an interview, with Mr. Alec. And we did not, at that particular time in the investigation, we did not have evidence to challenge anything that Mr. Alec would have told us. It was decided that we would not cross that at that time.
I mean, my question wasn't, why didn't you challenge him? My question is, why didn't you ask for clarification? Like, what are you talking about? You did him so bad.
Asking for clarification of I did him so bad would ultimately be a challenge of what he said.
So What were the things going through your mind when you heard or misheard, I did him so bad, you're like, I wasn't a good dad? I spoiled him? Or I killed him? I mean, what was going through your mental note?
There was a mental note that it was definitely something that we needed to follow up on and ask at a later time.
Now, from the video, it appears you're back there taking some notes.
Yes, sir.
Did you take notes?
I was writing specific stuff.
You mentioned you made a mental note. This what you heard or misheard, I did him so bad. But did you make a written note of him saying that?
I don't recall if I wrote it or not, sir.
So it's possible that you're sitting there with a guy who's now been charged with murder on June 10th in the interview, the father, the only one in the circle, and he says, I did him so bad, and you can't tell the jury you even wrote it down on a piece of paper.
I don't recall if I actually made a physical note of it or not, sir.
I'm going to play that clip from State's Exhibit 243, which is in evidence. I want you to listen again with the jury. Hang on, y'all. All right, let's play it. Please, Doug. Exhibit 243 in evidence.
It's tough.
It was just so bad. I did it so bad.
All right. Back it up and play it in real time again, Doug. Real time.
Or not. Not easy. I know it's hard. And sitting here talking today is tough.
It was just so bad. I did it so bad.
Did you hear now, they or I?
I will still testify that my hearing, I hear I. Okay.
Your Honor, we'd like to play it again at 1/3 speed to slow it down. It's the same. Thank you.
Your Honor, I object playing it at 1/3 speed. There's no foundation laid for who's manipulating it, how it's being manipulated. I think obviously we have it in real time, but there would have to be some additional foundation.
All right, please play at 1/3 speed.
And talking today is tough.
It's just so bad. I did it so bad.
Did you hear they then?
No, sir, I did not.
Okay. You would agree the jury gets to decide what he said on that tape. That's the best evidence.
I agree that they get to hear the tape and make their own mind up as to what he said. Yes, sir.
Thank you. That's all I have on that. Now, I said the date August 11th. You said you weren't sure, but there was another interview with Alec Murdoch came to the SLED Low Country office. And you and Agent Owen sat down and interviewed him, correct?
That is correct.
Now, on all these interviews that were conducted and that have been played somewhat, or body cam conversations, except for Alec, when you're doing them, do you tell the person that you're interviewing, hey, I'm going to turn the audio recorder on, you're now being recorded? Is that standard operating procedure?
We normally don't advise that we're recording. No, sir.
Okay. And you certainly didn't advise Alec that you're recording him on any of the interviews that you conducted with Agent Owen, correct?
I never advised anyone that I was being that they were being recorded.
And in this meeting that you had, were you aware that Alec was asking for the meeting so that he could get an update on whether you made any progress in the investigation of the murder of his wife and son?
I was aware that Alec had requested a meeting to raise some questions as to what was going on.
I mean, he wanted information as to what was going on, right?
That's my understanding, yes, sir.
But y'all had other plans for that meeting, correct?
No, sir, I'm not going to say we had other plans for that meeting. It was an interview.
Yeah, I mean, he came there not... He didn't go to that meeting thinking, I'm going to be interviewed, to your knowledge, did he?
To my knowledge, I don't know what his thinking was. He knew he was coming there to meet with myself and Agent Owen.
Okay. And during that interview, pretty much you made it known to him that, well, I mean, you asked him point blank, did you kill your wife and son?
He was asked that.
And you made it pretty clear that, well, let me ask you, at that point in time, was he full bore suspect in your murder investigation?
He was still a person of interest. There was some questions that we had regarding information that we had obtained that only he could answer.
And did he answer the questions that you asked?
Yes, sir.
And then at the end of that interview, he asked you to meet with Maggie's mom and dad, Mr. and Ms. Brandstetter, and her family, correct?
I think that was the end of the second interview, not the third interview.
All right. Well, shortly after that, shortly after that third interview with Alec, which... we'll get the date in the record eventually. A few days later, you and Agent Owen went and met with Maggie's mom and dad, sister and brother-in-law, and nieces, correct?
That is correct.
And part of that interview, that interview was recorded, right?
The interview with?
With the Brandstetters?
Yes, sir. It was audio recorded.
Did you tell them you were recording?
We did not.
And
I don't think. I did not tell them.
And part of the interview was part of... the interview was conducted as part of your investigation to get information to assist you in next steps, correct?
The interview was a combination interview. It was to share information and also to gather information concerning family dynamics. Yes, sir.
In that interview, you and or Agent Owen told the Brandstetters and the Proctors that Alec was in this circle of investigation, correct?
It was no secret that Alec was in that circle at that point. No, sir.
And that you also told him he's the only one that you've identified in the circle. Correct?
I don't recall saying he's the only one in that circle.
Well, did you identify for the Brandstetters or the Proctors any other people in the circle?
They particularly ask about Alex, so I don't recall giving them any other names that was being looked at.
In early August of 2021, was there anybody else in the circle that your sled was focused on?
Again, sir, at that particular date, I'm not sure who all was still within that circle.
And during this interview, Maggie's mother, Ms. Kennedy Brandstetter, her father, Mr. Terry Brandstetter, her sister, Marion Proctor, and brother-in-law, Bart, and their children described for y'all their observations of Alec's relationship with Maggie and Paul, correct?
From their observation of their relationship, yes, sir.
And that was, you were asking that as part of your investigating tool and getting
yes, sir, that's correct.
And they reported to you that Alec had a loving relationship with Maggie and Paul, correct?
Rule 801 and 802.
Pardon?
Objection, Rule 801 and 802.
Response?
It's not being offered for the matter asserted, Your Honor, what he did in response to that.
Objection sustained.
Were you given information in that interview? Did they identify other people who had warned Maggie that word on the street in Hampton that there was some risk to her family's safety resulting from the boating accident?
I don't recall any specific information concerning warning of threats of any nature. No, sir, I don't recall that.
You don't recall being provided the name Barbara Mixon?
I do recall being provided names of those that may have information, but as far as specific information, I do not recall any specific information that was shared by the Branstetters.
You know whether Ms. Mixon was ever interviewed following your meeting with the Branstetters?
I know I never interviewed Ms. Mixon.
Were you given information about Ms. Keena Trahearne of a similar nature?
Again, I never interviewed Ms. Trahearne if her name was given, no, sir.
Oh, 1 minute, Your Honor, ma'am. Check to see what I left.
Excuse me.
That's all the questions I have, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor. Senior Special Agent Croft, a couple things. When you went back, or you went and searched that house, your focus was searching for guns. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
And to your knowledge, when other agents walked through the house with the family members, and this is on June 8th, fundamentally they were looking for firearms. Is that correct?
That is my understanding, yes, sir.
You were asked about these weapons that you seized that are put into evidence, and you were looking for any potential weapon that could fire rounds consistent with those that were used at the scene. Is that right?
That is correct.
I'm on redirect, Your Honor. I'd ask for a little
bit. Don't lead the witness.
Yes, sir, Your Honor. What is the point of gathering as much evidence as you can when you have that opportunity? What are you trying to do there?
We were trying to gather as much evidence that could be tested as potential weapons for the scene to be able to include or to exclude Mr. Alex or these weapons from being the person responsible for the murders.
You were asked a little bit about this right here, and this was June of 2021, correct?
That is correct, yes, sir.
Had COVID had any effect generally on the availability of ammunition?
I'm sorry?
Had COVID had any effect generally on the availability of ammunition?
Yes, sir.
And tell the jury what, if any, effect that was.
Ammunition was difficult to get during that time because of the shutdowns during COVID.
Did you find a lot of ammunition inside the defendant's residence?
There was quite a bit of ammunition.
Did you find a lot of different types of ammunition inside the defendant's residence?
Yes, sir, we did.
Did you find a lot of S&B 300 blackout in the defendant's residence?
That was mostly what we found.
You were asked about the commonality of various rounds blackout through others, and you mentioned 308, 223, and 556. Can you tell the jury a little bit about those rounds and why they tend to be a bit more common, as you testified to, please?
I'm sorry. Can you mind repeating?
Yeah, sure. You testified.
Objects beyond the scope. I didn't ask anything about 223s and whatever he said.
He asked about the commonality of blackout, and he answered about those.
The witness asked you to repeat the question. I would like to hear it as well.
Yes, sir. You were asked earlier about the commonality of blackout, and you mentioned it was not as common as 308, 223, and 556. I was asking you to explain a little bit about those calibers and why they are more common.
Okay. 223 is a very common round. It's utilized in law enforcement. 556 is utilized within law enforcement and also within the military. It's prior to COVID, it was easily found, fairly cheap ammunition to go out and shoot as far as rifle ammunition goes. 308 is a hunting rifle, which can be used for larger game, such as whitetail and stuff like that. 308 is also a common round that's used within law enforcement and the military side. It's a very common round. 300, on the other hand, it's just at that particular time, 300 rounds were just, or weapons were just not that common.
How many criminal investigations have you worked where 300 blackout was the murder round?
I have none.
None?
None.
You were asked earlier about the boxes and what has been admitted into evidence as States 214. And there are multiple exhibits in that particular bag that was not opened.
Yes, sir, it is.
Right. And aside from the boxes, what, if any, other exhibit is in that particular bag?
It is what appears to be a credit card receipt with one particular item circled.
And that item circled was what?
Gucci.
Of course, the dogs won't know here. You're asked something about, a few questions about what the lab report found. And where your experience is in general firearms knowledge, is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Are you a firearm arts and tool mark examiner?
No, sir, I'm not.
Is it your role to do that specific analysis?
It is not, sir.
Is that analysis for others to do?
That is, sir. That is correct, sir.
Others who will testify later?
That is correct, sir.
You were asked a number of questions about the various loads in some of these shotguns. Did you find weapons that had mixed loads, that had different types of ammunition in them?
Yes, sir, I did.
You were asked a couple of questions about the board that Mr. Harpootlian put into evidence yesterday. You recall those?
Yes, sir, I do.
Are you aware that both victims had stippling on them from their gunshot injuries?
Yes, sir, I am.
And what is stippling?
Stippling is a powder burn pattern which is left on an individual due to a close range shot.
To a close range shot.
That is correct.
Thank you. You were asked some questions about the location of where shell casings land when they're ejected out of the weapon. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, I was.
Are there a number of factors that go into where a shell casing might actually land?
Yes, sir, it is.
Can people move?
I'm sorry, sir.
Do people move?
People can move, yes, sir.
You were asked a couple of questions about the cell phone and whether or not it was put in the Faraday bag. Do you know if that phone was put in airplane mode?
I think it was, yes, sir.
You've been asked a number of questions about the defendant and the investigation. Do you recall during the course of the interview on June 10th Did Agent Owen mention that y'all had talked to 100 people at that point?
I do, yes, sir.
All right. And was the investigation just focused on Alec Murdoch, or was it focused on anyone and everyone it could focus on?
It was absolutely not just focused on Alex Murdoch.
Did, in that particular interview, did Agent Owen mention victim advocates or any sort of grief counseling to Alec Murdoch? Is that correct?
Yes, sir, he did.
When you're that early in an interview and you are interviewing someone who might be in the circle, as Mr. Griffin describes it, are you trying to keep your ears open?
Yes, sir, I am.
Are you trying to keep the lines of communication open?
Yes, sir, I am.
Are you going to confront somebody that early on, or are you going to try to keep the dialogue going?
Action leading, Your Honor.
Don't lead the witness.
What is your goal when you're that early in an investigation and interviewing witnesses or potential subjects?
Again, based on what we had in this particular case, the interviews conducted with Mr. Alec was more of an information gathering type of interview. It wasn't of an interrogation by no means.
You were asked about whether or not anyone dug some potential projectiles out of a mound of dirt. Were you aware that there were 300 blackout cases found around Maggie's body at the scene?
Yes, I was.
And what was your goal as finding similar evidence in other parts of the property?
Similar casings to the shell casings that were located at Miss Maggie's body.
Did you know that casings can be compared to casings which had been recovered already at the murder scene?
Yes, sir, I did.
Did you find cases outside of the side door?
Yes, sir, I did.
300 blackout cases?
Yes, sir, I did.
Did you find 300 blackout cases at the range across the street?
Yes, sir, I did.
You were asked about interviewing a number of witnesses on that day on June the 10th. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Is it common standard operating procedure to interview witnesses separately?
Yes, sir.
Is there anything different or unusual about that being done?
No, sir, it's not.
Would you do that in any case?
Yes, sir, I would.
The June 10th interview with Alec Murdoch, who all was in that car?
It was myself, Senior Special Agent David Owen, Mr. Alec Murdoch, and counsel.
Jim Griffin was there.
That is correct.
His lawyer was there.
That is correct.
Remind the jury what Alec Murdoch did for a living.
He was a trial lawyer and a prosecutor for the 14th Circuit Solicitor's Office.
Was that interview aggressive in any way?
Not at all, sir.
You asked a number of questions about various firearms evidence that was seized in this particular case. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
Did you personally seize every single piece of evidence, firearms-related evidence in this case?
Not personally, no, sir.
And describe just generally what the SOP is. When you have multiple agents working a scene and they find evidence, what do they do with it?
They generally will mark it or locate it, and then one particular person actually does the collection to package and make sure that it gets to our lab.
All right. And there could be multiple individuals doing that collection?
Yes, sir.
And then where does it go from there? What happens to sync it all back together?
It's generally packaged, turned over to a crime scene or an analyst at our lab. Chain of custody is provided to track that particular piece of evidence as to where it went.
Are efforts made by those collecting it to avoid tampering with the evidence?
Absolutely.
Is the evidence collected in a manner to preserve it as much as possible in its form?
Yes, sir.
Is that standard operating procedure for all of SLED?
Yes, sir.
Located
exhibit
that's in evidence.
Yes. Yeah. So I'll stand for
a moment. Appreciate everyone's apologies while we tug those out at the bottom. I'm going to show you what's been marked as Exhibit 145 in the evidence. And can you publish what the crime scene notes reflect about where that was recovered?
It's one unfired shot shell from a state box on bookshelf in gun room, head stamped Winchester 12 gauge.
Can I ask you to take these scissors and carefully cut that open, please? Could I have the Elmo up, please, if I could as well? The Elmo, please. All right. Tell me, can you describe that, what that is to the jury, please?
It's a 12-gauge shotgun shell, head stamp. Winchester 12 gauge.
All right. And does the plastic part of the shell have any identifying information?
It's got dry lock, 3-inch number 2.
All right. Can I hold that real quick? Is this what the round you were just seeing?
Yes, sir. It appears to be, yes, sir. That's it glares on it. You can't hardly see it.
All right. Can you put that back in that bag for me, please? All right, I'm going to hand you what's been marked and entered into evidence of State 149. And if you could, first of all, publish again what the crime scene notes say about that particular round.
One unfired shot shell from a state box on bookshelf in gun room, head stamped Winchester 12 gauge.
All right, and if you could, please, again, carefully open that bag and pull out what's inside and describe it for the jury, please.
It's a black and colored Winchester 12 gauge. On the side, the writing is dry lock 3-inch number 2.
All right. This is the unfired 12 gauge shell that you were just describing?
Yes, sir, it is.
Again, what's written on this particular round?
Dry lock, 3-inch, number 2.
If you could return that to that packaging, please, and let's do the next one. My hand, U.S. has been marked as State's Exhibit 146. And again, if you could tell us what the crime scene notes say on that, please.
One unfired shot shell from Kent box on bookshelf in gun room, head stamp Winchester 12 gauge.
All right, and if you could again carefully open that and see what's inside and describe it for the jury, please.
It's a 12 gauge shotgun shell, Winchester head stamp, dry lock 3-inch, number 2.
Is it the same as the previous two?
Yes, sir, it is.
Can I hold it? All right. If you'll put that one back for me. Do the fourth verse. Again, if you'd sort of publish those crime scene notes, and then we'll follow the same procedure, please.
One unfired shot shell from nightstand in Paul's room, head stamped Winchester 12 gauge.
Tell me what, describe it to the jury.
Head stamp Winchester 12 gauge on the side is got writing dry lock 3-inch, number 2.
All right. Same thing?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's move on to the next one. I'm going to show you what's been marked as Exhibit 150 into evidence. State's Exhibit 150. And again, if you can, as best you can, tell the jury the crime scene notes on that exhibit.
It's one, and I can read, shell head stamp 12 gauge found from red bin on workshop bench. The state's exhibit tag is over the writing.
Gotcha. On workshop bench, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. If you would, carefully open that and then describe what you find to the jury, please.
It's a red in color, Federal 12-gauge shotgun shell. On the side, it's Federal Premium Double Lock Buck 3-inch mag. 76 millimeter maximum, 1050 bar.
Federal buckshot?
Federal buckshot, yes, sir.
All right. Can I see that?
Yes, sir.
This was found where?
On the workbench from the red bin on the workbench.
I can't tell if that helps or not, but I'm going to try it.
You can't read it on there, sir.
I'll just walk it back. All right, if you could secure that back. All right, I'm going to show you now what's been marked as States 144. Let's do the same procedure. If you could tell the jury what the crime scene notes on that particular exhibit reflect.
One unfired shot shell head stamp 12 gauge Federal from red bin on workshop bench.
Okay. And if you could carefully open it and describe to the jury what you found.
It's a red in color Federal 12 gauge. Writing on the side is Federal Premium Double Lock Buckshot Mag, Double Lock Buck 3-inch Magnum.
All right. If you could secure that back for me, please. I'll show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 143 and have you take a look through that one, if you would, please. If you could read what the crime scene notes say.
One unfired shot shell head stamp, 12-gauge Federal from Red Bin on workshop bench.
Again, carefully open it and describe to the jury what's inside.
It's a red in color, 12-gauge Federal shotgun shell, stamped on the side, Federal Premium, double-aught buck, 3-inch magnum.
Same thing? Is that previous
two?
Yes, sir, it is.
Federal buckshot, correct?
That is correct.
All right, if you could put that back for me. And we'll do one more. We've got State's Exhibit 148. If you could, again, tell the jury what the crime scene notes reflect about its location, please.
Says one unfired shot shell, head stamp, 12-gauge Federal from Red Bin on workshop bench.
All right. If you could, carefully open it and tell the jury what's inside.
It's a red in color, Federal 12-gauge shotgun shell. On the side writing is Federal Premium, double-aught buck, 3-inch magnum, 3-inch mag.
Same as the previous three, is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
Four dry locks?
Yes, sir.
Four buckshot?
Yes, sir.
The dry locks are what brand?
They are black in color. They are Winchester.
And the buckshots are what?
Federal.
Just got a couple more questions for you. You were asked whether or not you took down any notes at any point in the interview or at a particular point in the interview.
Yes, sir.
The interview is being recorded. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
Was Alec Murdoch in custody at that interview?
He was not, sir.
Was that interview voluntary?
It was, sir.
Was that interview aggressive?
It was not, sir.
Was his lawyer present?
His attorney was present, sir.
And he's a lawyer, too? Or
yes.
Was a lawyer?
Yes, sir.
Further recross.
Just very briefly, Your Honor. Agent Croft, you mentioned stippling with regard to the injuries of Maggie. Do you know how many bullet wounds she had that had stippling?
I know at least one bullet wound had stippling. Yes,
just
sir.
One. That's all you remember?
Yes, sir.
All right. And then talking about on the June 10th, y'all had interviewed 100 people or more, broad investigation. But did you have anybody else in the circle on June 10th besides Alec Murdoch?
We had names of interest that we were interviewing. Yes, sir.
And then you were asked about projectiles versus shell cartridges. Are you aware that projectiles were found? 300 blackout projectiles were found in the dog house, in the dog bed?
I am aware of that now, yes, sir.
And that there's a 300 blackout projectile found in the dirt by the tire track?
Yes, sir.
So there were projectiles that were found?
That's correct, sir.
Yet you're out of the range, you don't look for projectiles, right?
I was collecting the 300 blackout spent shell casings from the gun room, or not the gun room, I apologize, the shoot house.
Now you showed a number of shot shells, buckshot, and apparently dry lock. What date were those seized?
Looks like 9/13 of 2021.
Those were seized 3 months after the murders?
Hang on a second. 9/13/2021 is the date that's written on it.
So got June, July, August, September. I mean, 4 months after the murders.
That's correct, sir.
And do you know whether that property had been secured during that period of time?
It had not been secured by law enforcement during that period of time.
You know if any of that in front of you was on the property on June 7th or before?
It was there the day we collected it. I can't answer that other question.
And I understand you didn't collect any of that, correct?
No, sir.
And you don't know where it was collected from other than what you're reading on the envelope, right? I mean, you're reading someone else's evidence description. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir. No.
That's all I have, Your
Honor. Thank you. You may step down.
Thanks, sir.
And we'll take a break now, about 10 minutes or so.
That's where segment number one ends, and a break was taken by the court. Our coverage continues in the next chapter right here on the feed that you are listening to. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.